Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom Aleichem and welcome back to today's Daf Hayomi Zvachim Daf Ayin Ches. We begin at the Mishnah on Ayin Zayin Amud Beis, four lines towards the bottom of the Amud. Says the Mishnah, Dam Shenis Arev B'mayim. Up until now we spoke about animal parts or animals themselves, karbanos that got mixed up. Now we shift to dam, the blood of the karban. Now typically, throughout the Torah, when we have a mix of ingredients, you have something which was forbidden, fell into a pot, permissible food, the formula is shishim, right? Batal b'shishim. It's about a 60th, right? So if it's less than a 60th, null and void, which is about 1.6% of the total mix. Because below that threshold, that minute amount has deemed to have lost its unique flavor within the general mix. It lost its uniqueness. It lost its individuality. It's no longer discernible in terms of the general flavor of this mix, of this food. So there, it follows the shear of shishim. However, here we speak about non-food items, where it has no relation to flavor. It's about the question of whether it's called blood or not. Blood that got mixed into water. Is this blood or not blood? How do we determine that? So the Mishnah will tell us. Here, the determining factor is appearance. What does it look like? Color. If it retained its color, it retained its status. If it lost its color, it lost its status. And now becomes nullified in the greater mix. Says the Mishnah, Darm, blood of a korban, which is red, of course, shenis arev b'mayim, got mixed into water. What happens to this mix? Can we still process it as a korban? Can it still be applied to the mizbeach? Well, it depends how much water there is in this mix. Was it enough to dull the color of the blood? Then it's a puzzle for zrika. Im yesh bo maris dam, if it still has that reddish color to it, it still looks like blood, kasher. Then it's kasher for hakrava on the mizbeach. But otherwise, if it lost its red coloring, it no longer looks like blood. Although it may be, tinged, but it's no longer blood-looking, then it cannot be used for a carbon. This is Arabiyai. Next case, let's say the red blood get mixed into red wine. Wine is typically red, right? Atera yayin ki is Adam. Okay, so it's red and red. But it's in red wine, not red blood. Shall we say, well, it's still red, so it's still din blood? Oh, no. We have to treat it as though it got mixed into water and judge accordingly. If this amount of blood and this amount of water would still retain its color, fine, otherwise it's batal. Okay, exactly so says the Mishnah. If the red blood gets mixed into red wine, we can't just say, well, it's still red, it's okay. No, Ryan, we view, we visualize, we imagine. We treat the red wine as though it would be water and judge accordingly. Likewise, if the dam of the carbon was nis'arav b'dam behemah, into other blood of another behemah, which is not a carbon, not suitable for akrava, oy b'dam hachaya. Likewise, we treat it as though it got mixed into water and judge accordingly. Roin oisai kilu humay. Rabbi Daimer, no. There's never a concern if, in fact, it's blood into blood. Why? Rabbi Daimer, in dam vatal dam. Since they're both blood, irrespective of how much he got mixed into, even if it's a drop of kosher blood into a ton of ordinary, mundane blood, which is not kosher for zrika, it doesn't matter. Since they're both of the same type, there's no opposition, there's no confrontation, there's no fight between the two, which allows the droplet of kosher blood to retain its status, retain its identity. and it's still kasha for zrika. Concludes the Mishnah. Nisara b'dam psulim. This is a totally new case. Let's say a bit of, or a lot of kosher blood, of a kosher carbon, gets mixed into blood of deficient carbonis, carbonis that were pasul. Rashi explains, even if it's just a small amount of that problematic material. You shafech lama, spill the whole mix into the drain, which was an ama wide, running through the azara. And the Gemara explains, there's a concern, there's a gzera, because people might, the unlearned person might deduce and say, look, well, you see, you can actually process the dam of a pasul. He won't realize, because that little bit is null and void. I'll say, well, you see, even the blood of a non-kosher, of a deficient, disqualified carbon can be used for zrik. Likewise, dam ha-tamtzis, if the proper blood of the carbon, the dam ha-nefesh, right, typically, we discussed this in the past, that you have to use dam ha-nefesh for zrika. The blood which expresses the life force of the animal, as opposed to dama tamtzis, just the, you know, the remnants in the animal, that can't be used for zrika. So let's say lots of kosher blood gets mixed into a little bit of dama tamtzis. Likewise, it can cause confusion and misunderstanding. People might conclude that you can actually use dama tamtzis of a carbon for zrika. Therefore, the whole mix is meant to be poured away. Yishafech lam. Rav Lezer Machshir, he says, in this case, it's okay. Why? We will see in the Gemara. Now, as Rashi explains, in these two cases, the issue is not min ha-Torah, because the majority, the rav, is kosher blood. But midrabbanan, we're concerned it might lead to misunderstanding, to erroneous conclusions, and you have to hold back. And therefore, im loy nimlech, the kohen failed to seek advice and seek instruction. V'nasan, he actually applied this mix on the mizbeach kosher. The kosher is okay. The carbon is okay because ultimately, min ha-Torah, it's okay. So in the beginning, we spoke about dam of carbon getting mixed into water. If it retained its redness, it retains its status. What got mixed into what? The kosher into the blood into the water, or the water into the blood? Which way did it go? Amar b'chibra, amar b'yechanam. He said, no, leishanu, it's only true. This halacha, that if it retains color, it retains status, is only going to work ela shenaflu mayim l'teich dam. If it followed this sequence, water into the blood, so it sort of trickled into the blood and then stopped, and then upon evaluation we see it's still red, so it's okay because the water now is bottled to the blood. But if it should happen in the reverse, aval nafal dam l'teich mayim, suppose the blood trickled into the water, so although ultimately in terms of the final mix, the final product, it's still deemed red, it doesn't matter. That blood, as it was trickling in, drop by drop, becomes nullified. Because at that point, it lost its color. So even though, by the time it was finished trickling in, it sort of resuscitated itself, it regained its color. Too late. Because in the interim, while these droplets of blood were falling in, their color was not discernible anymore. So at that point, it becomes nidche, it becomes rejected, permanently disqualified from further use. Aval nafal dam teichmaim rishon rishon bottle. Every drop that comes in one at a time is bottle. Amar papa. That's only with respect to carbon materials. Rashi explains, the idea of dichoy, of rejection, is only bedavar kedusha, in terms of, you know, holy items and carbon materials. Once it's out, it's out. But when it comes to mitzvah materials, for instance, regarding kisui hadam, so we know that if we shecht a chaya or a bird, the blood is meant to be covered with soil, with earth. Suppose the same thing would happen. The blood gets mixed into water, and, you know, the halacha would be the same idea as our Mishnah, that if it's still red enough, you can still fulfill the mitzvah of kisui hadam. Says Rav Papa, in this type of circumstance, even if it was blood trickling into water, in which case, in the interim, it lost its color. But since enough blood ultimately falls in to regain its redness, you cannot use it for kisi adam. We don't say, well, if it was, you know, disabled in the interim, it becomes permanently disabled. That's only by carbon It's a matter of kedusha. The kedusha becomes, you know, deactivated. It's gone. By mitzvah, as long as it's suitable now, we don't care what happened in the interim. Amar papo l'inyan kisui, regarding kisui adam ina ken. This stipulation wouldn't apply. Why? L'vish ein dichoi. The concept of rejection does not apply by mitzvahs. Amar ish lakish. That comes an interesting case. Hapigel v'hanoyser v'hatamei. So you have a piece of pigel, piece of a basar of a carbon, which is pigel, which is forbidden for consumption, of course. A person eats that, he gets malchus. You have a piece of leftover meat, noisar. Ve'atami, a piece of carbon which became tummy. Now at this point, in the Gemara, this stage, we're assuming that there were different types here. For instance, the pigel was a piece of meat, a kazayis of meat. The noisar was leftover mincha material, flour, dough from a mincha, different types of materials. Okay? So he picks out two of these items, an olive worth, a kazayis of the pigel meat, a kazayis of the noisar meat, shebalulon zebezeh, and then he starts eating and chews it up together. Va'achlan, he mixed them up and eats them. Pater. So you think, okay, he had a kazayis of this, a kazayis of that, he should get double malchus. Guess what? He's pater. What do you mean? He walks away full. He had two kazayisim of Isra. No, he's pater. Why? Because of bittul. Since there was an exact amount of each, a kazayis of this and a kazayis of that, then when it gets mixed in, when he's chewing them together, let's visualize what happens. Particle by particle. A little bit of the flour, a little teeny particle, inevitably is going to get mushed in and embedded between two pieces of two fibers of meat. You know, for example, right? And this happens all along throughout the process. Some of this gets mixed in that, some of this, right? It goes both ways. There's an exchange of materials between the meat and the dough. So now let's just again visualize this drop of dough, which is now enmeshed, embedded in that little piece of meat that's surrounding it, becomes batel, becomes nullified, batel bereif, right? So there's more meat than dough in that little corner. The corner, that little dough is now batel in the meat. So ultimately, you've diminished the kazayas of dough. You started with an exact kazayas. You're missing a drop which became nullified, absorbed within the meat. That's being eaten at the same time. You no longer have a kazayas of the dough. Or vice versa. It can go the other way, right? The meat can become batel in the dough. So throughout this exchange back and forth, there's going to be bittul taking place. Right? So let's say the dough getting batel in the meat. So now the meat became enlarged. You have more than a kazayas there. But the dough became, shrunk. And vice versa. And you'll never know. It's virtually impossible to determine, to even speculate that it's exactly 50-50. And each one retains its kazayas. Right? It's virtually impossible to say that. We have to assume that in fact one is up and one is down. One of these two items got sort of enlarged slightly and the other one got diminished slightly. And we don't know which one's what. We'll never know. So even though he was warned ahead of time, don't do this. The halacha is, you have to warn a person in a very specific fashion. And here there was an element of uncertainty in terms of which one is going to be the Isser. So he's completely potter. Completely potter. He walks away full, he's potter. He gets no malchus. And he explains, it's impossible to say that one did not override and overwhelm the other material to the point that he nullified at least a couple of particles of the other material, which now shrunk below the kazayas threshold, and therefore he's not liable for it. Says the Gemara, we can actually conclude three halachas from this statement of Reish Lakish. Shmamin at last, three halachas. Shmamina, we can learn from here, Isurin Mvatan Zeze. Don't think, Rashi says, don't think if it's just Isser falling into Heter, that becomes Batal. Even Isser within Isser, if you go with Nicer, because they're two different types of Isser, two different entities. If there's a crossover, if there's an absorption, if there's a Bittal, they're Mabatal each other. Number two, let's realize that the different types of materials impart flavor into each other. So sure, that little bit of dough which was embedded in that meat had a distinct flavor, different than the meat. So it's still discernible within the meat. So you think that's called tam ki'ika, when a flavor is discernible, we treat it like the actual item is still here. By the way, that's the foundation, that's the basis for the halacha of bittul b'shishim, right? Less than a 60th nullifies the distinctness of its flavor, but more than that, it's 2-3% of a mix. So the meat is felt within the milk, or the milk within the meat, even though it's negligible, but the flavor is what determines presence. Likewise over here, the flavor of the dough is still felt within the meat. Why is it bottled? No. Ushmamino noisein tam b'roiv, when a minority imparts flavor, transfers flavor to the majority element, which sort of lends us to feel its presence. So that concept is not menatero. It's only midrabanan, but menatero. As long as it's 49%, he's a mute, even though he has lots of flavor to offer, it's bottle. Likewise, in our case, where it's an issue of giving him malchus, you can't give him malchus, because that mute was bottle on the right, despite the fact that his flavor is still present. And thirdly, Ushmamina Hasra Safik, Loishma Asra, as we explained, even though he was warned ahead of time, there's an element of uncertainty to the Asra, because we could not really determine which one of these two items retained its proper volume, and which one lost his volume to his friend. Hasra Safik. It doesn't constitute a warning. It will not activate the Malchus process. Masav Rabba says, Rabba, I have a kasha on this. Halacha of Rish Lakish. You're telling me that flavor is not reckoned with min hatayra? As long as there's majority against you, we don't reckon with your flavor presence? Masav Rabba, asach iso min achitin min oiris. Halacha is that only a dough comprised of flour from the five primary grains, wheat, barley, spelt, etc., is subject to the halachas of challah separation. And likewise, only that type of material can be used for matzah. Now let's say you have a mix, some wheat flour, some rice flour, and lots of rice flour. Is there a chi of challah? Can you use it for matzah? Oh, so isa min achit min oiris. Well, depends if you can still feel that wheat flavor in there. Oh, clearly, even when there's bittul b'roiv, even when he's just a minority of the general mix, flavor gives him presence, right? So the Mishnah says, im yesh ba tam dagan, if you can still feel the dagan flavor, the wheat flavor, chayeves b'chala, we treat it like a wheat product, and there's chiyuv of chala. V'avgav duru ba'oiris, even though the greater portion here is rice. It's irrelevant because flavor is what carries a day. Well, midrabanan says tomorrow, this is only midrabanan. Yochi, if it's only midrabanan, aim a safe. Let's move on to the next part of the halacha, where it says that you can actually use it for matzah, which is a mitzvah d'oraisa. Adam yoytze bo, yidich basa v'pesach. Rashi explains that, again, for a matzah, you can only use chamesh saminim. Pasuk says, le'soichel olav chametz, shivas yomim teichel olav matzah. It's only something which is bo de chimutz, which comes to proper, you know, leavening and rising, can be used for matzah. Matzah is sort of the flip side of chametz, right? So something which can turn into chametz, which is only chameshes v'nidogim, can be used for matzah, as opposed to rice products, which doesn't really ferment properly. Ein boin l'dei chimutz el dei sirachim, sort of sours or whatever, doesn't really go through a proper fermentation process. Okay, so that's the raya that was speaking about Adinda Iraisa. So clearly, Tam ki ikar minatir. Hakar Shlakish say, if one eats this meat dough mix, he's potter. because inevitably there's some bitul b'roiv. Who cares about bitul b'roiv? Roiv is not enough to be mevatel if there's a tam present. Says the Gemara, you're right. We're not speaking about different types. If there were different types, if the pigel was meat and the noiser was dough, right, this is a karban, this is mincha, there's no question that he would be chayv because the flavor is still present. El min b'sheni min, if there's two different minim here, two different types, but time is certainly the determining factor is flavor. You're right. Min b'mina b'ruba. However, Shlakish was speaking about two pieces of meat, one pigle, one noiser. Min b'mina, the same type. In this case, what activates the bittul process? Roiv b'ruba. 51% versus 49%. That explains Rish Lakish exempting this fellow from Malkus. Because inevitably there's some meat from the pigle which got him better than the nicer meat. 51-49, that little bit becomes bottle. So now the pigle meat, for instance, now shrunk to less than a kazayas. Or vice versa. Okay, so again, Rish Lakish tells us a great chiddush. If one consumed the kazayas of two different isurim, an exact kazayas of each Isra, since he chewed it together, mixed it together, inevitably there's going to be some exchange of material, some crossover, some bittul taking place. And since it's impossible to determine which one of which increased ultimately, which one diminished from its kazayit, you're going to be butter from malchus on both. Ask the Gemara a question. I mean, we're coming down very easy now on this fellow. On the one hand, we say that if it's min b'she'en aminai, if the mix entails two different types of materials, 51 to 49 doesn't really help us. You need less than a 60th, which as we said is 1.6%, way less than 49%. But if it's min b'minai, they're both the same type of iser, 49% is enough to make him bottle. That's a very, very easy. Finish shy, why do we do that? Why don't we apply the same, at least when it comes to two Isurim, or as we're going to see when it comes to, you know, blood into water, into blood, all these types of mixes. Carbon materials, and the question of things becoming tummy or tohar. Why don't we come down a little bit more strict on it and say, look, even though they look like the same thing, but 49% is not going to be batel. Let's apply the same or similar formula that we apply to two different types. Let's apply a similar concept to the same type and hold back the bittel. Unless the item is just a very, really small amount. How can we allow 49% to be batel? Let's treat min b'minoi just like min b'shein aminoi, just like if it was a different type. Why would you say that? That's not. Look at our Mishnah. Dam got mixed into wine, red wine. Although, in a way, you can say they're the same in terms of appearance. Min b'minoi, they're both red. So you think, as long as it's 49%, it's batel? No. What does the Mishnah say? We view the wine as though it's water. And then, you know, we have to evaluate whether this amount of blood and this amount of water would still retain its color. And it's not batel. Only if it wouldn't retain its color, if it would lose its color, then it's batel. So apparently we don't come down with bittel so quickly. We don't apply bittul just like that. This not this arabiyin, red wine, red blood got mixed into red wine. Roi noise kilu mayim. We view the red wine as though it's water. My love, let's assume the Mishnah means roi noise layin kilu mayim. We imagine the red wine to be just translucent, clear water. And we don't allow bittul just to happen like that, unless there's so much there that the blood would have lost its color. Right? So again, we don't just say, well, they're both red. Rav is going to be mevatel. As long as it's 49% or less, it's batel. We don't say that. We need way more to mevatel this this blood. Goes into a whole long discussion. Why the Gemara would, you know, why would we have such a question? I mean, we know that typically Isser and Heter is batel b'rov. Rachi Rabim Lahatas, we follow the majority. So he takes great pains to explain why the Gemara, you know, poses this question, specifically in our sugya. He comes up with different reasons. He says, we're speaking about Rish Lakish, about Isser v'Isser. Isser v'Isser is much harder to be mevatel than you know, Isser and Heter. Perhaps because each one is distinct and separate and has its own, you know, isurim. Likewise, when it comes to carbon materials, which are not easily bottled. Likewise, when it comes to questions of things which are tame, right? So all these, you know, should be more difficult to be mevatel. We shouldn't just, you know, easily apply a simple formula of roiv and say as long as you're 49% or less, you're batel. You need more than that. You need another element. You need more reason to actually activate batel in this case, as we find in the Mishnah. So here it's actually pretty interesting because you have, it's really two different types. It's blood and wine. It's just that in terms of appearance, they look the same. So here there's actually another reason to understand why the bittul should be more difficult to achieve, because really they're different things. And when they're different, 49% is not enough, right? Okay, in any case, we see that it's not enough to have majority. Says the Malay, no, that's not what the Mishnah meant. Roy noisy ladam kilhumayim. Mishnah meant just the opposite, that blood into wine is batel b'rov. We view the blood as though it's water, worthless water. It's batel, can't be used for carbon. Yach, if that would be the true meaning of the Mishnah, why would the Mishnah say we have to imagine it as though it's water? Just state clearly that it's batel. Very simple. Batel my boy. Mishnah would just say it's batel. Apparently, that's not what the Mishnah has in mind. It's the opposite. It's not batel, because we don't just say, okay, red and red, batel. Batel b'rov. No! We imagine the red wine as though it's water, and then we need way more than 51% to nullify the color of this blood. Vaitan, you have another brisa. Where we see likewise? Rabbi Da'imer, Roi Noise Kilu Yain Adam. This actually is a brisa coming up in a minute. We will see exactly what the context is. But in any case, Rabbi says there as well, you have two items of similar appearance. Don't say it's Min B'minai, it's Batel B'rov. No. We imagine, we treat it as though it's red wine. Imdiha marisai, if there's enough water there to dull that red color, then kasha, we treat it like water, and it has tefillah in the mikveh. We'll see in a minute. From love, otherwise puzzle. So clearly, we imagine things, we visualize. We don't just simply say, well, you're the same type, the same color, batel b'rov. You need way more to make bittel than just 51%. So why in the case of Rish Lakish, in the case of the two Yisurim, we say 49% is enough to be batel? You're right, Tanoi, it's actually a machlekes Tanoi. Whether or not, when it comes to items of min b'minoi, is 49% enough for a bittel? This sign, you have a brisa, dli, you have a bucket, which happens to be tamei, which needs to be immersed in a mikveh. Problem is, it's filled with liquid. Sheish bo yayin lavan, eicholav, it has white wine, which is similar in appearance to the water surrounding mikveh water in which he's going to be immersed, or milk, which is likewise considered similar color to the water around it. He'd be when he immersed this bucket in the mikveh. And he left the wine or the milk inside. Holchin achar harif. So now, as long as enough mikveh water poured into this bucket and displaced 51% of that milk or white wine, as long as you have majority content of this in this bucket containing mikveh water, right? So the rest is just batel. Batel b'rov. So now the we treat the bucket as though it's full, completely full with mikvah water, and now the bucket is considered to have been fully immersed in the mikvah, and it's tahar. Right? So according to Tanakhama, since the water surrounding mikvah water and the light-colored liquid within the bucket are of similar appearance, they're considered min b'mina, because when it comes to mikvah halacha, it's about appearance. It's got to look like water, right? So with respect to determining types, they're both the same type because they both have the same appearance, light-colored. So min b'mina is batel b'rov. Rabbi Da'imer, no, not so quick. Not so quick. After all, there are two different types of materials. And it's a matter of, making tahara. We don't just allow 49% to be batel. Rabbi Da'imer, roin oisai, kiluhu yain adam. Even though the bucket content is white, is light colored, no. In our minds, we imagine it to be red colored, red wine. And the only way for that to become nullified is if there's enough mikvah water spilled in, poured into this bucket, to nullify the reddish color of that wine. Im diha marisa kosh, if the color had dulled and lightened, then it's okay. Im la pasa, otherwise it's pasa. Okay, so here we have two shitas regarding min b'minay. Tanakhama says batel b'rov, even with respect to mikvah and tumah and tahara. Rabbi Yehuda disagrees. And that would also be in line with our Mishnah, that it's blood and water. We don't just, blood and red wine. We don't just say min b'mina is batel b'rov. We imagine the wine to be water, and it's more difficult to make bittel on that blood. Whereas Rish Lakish, who says min b'mina is always batel b'rov, he's going like the Tanakhama, the first sheet of this Braisa here, with the bucket, where he says, 49% is enough for bittel. Viramini, here comes Akasha, within Rabbi Yehuda himself, who you just told me, is most strict when it comes to this type of bittel. He says, Ryan, we imagine, we visualize. Viramini, here comes Akasha. From Bryce, where it seems that Rabbi Yehuda himself allows Roy to be mevato min b'mina. Lishum ali ruki. Again, a bucket filled with saliva material, which is thick and creates that barrier between the surrounding mikvah water. Bidbili, and he immersed this bucket in the mikvah, it's worthless. Kidloi Tavol, it's as though it never immersed, because the mikvah water doesn't really have access to the interior of the bucket. Meraglim, if it's filled with personal wastewater, that in a way is considered like a variation of water. Roinoisai, we view it, kiloi maim, as though it's plain water, as long as there's some connection between the mikvah water and the content of a kli, it's okay. It becomes one, continuous entity. Mole mechatos. Suppose the bucket is filled with paraduma water, which Rashi says is very special, it's very prominent, and it's kadosh, and actually it's tamei. Not meant to touch the paraduma water needlessly. So now, if it's in the bucket, and you immerse the bucket in the mikvah, so content of the bucket is water. The surrounding mikvah water is water. Here's a classic min b'minoi. How do you make a connection? Ad sheyirbu ha'mayim ha'meichatos. Need a majority, no more than a majority. As long as the bucket fills mostly with mikvah water, 51% mikvah water versus 49% meichatos, it's batel. Mimaminoi is batel b'rov. Now, man shamas le di islay roin. Now, let's realize this price has no name attached to it. Let's try to determine who authored this price. So let's take a closer look at the wording of the price by the Meir Raglayim. It says, roin oisei. Roin oisei is a term coined by Rabbi Yehuda in the previous discussion. Right? Roin oisei, right? So it's wine. Let's assume he's the one speaking here as well. Man shamas le disli roin. Who's the one that subscribes to this coined term called roin? Rabbi Yehuda Uktani, and still the Braisa in the last case says, when it's water and water, min b'minoi, we don't say, well, you're different entities, you're different types,
He did more than 51%.
Uktani the Sagli Beruba. 51 is enough. Amra Bailai Kashi Hadidei Hadirab. It's a good question. The answer is, depends who he's quoting. Rabbi's personal opinion is, Min Bamin is Batal Baraif. So water and water, you know, red blood and red wine, there's similarity. Min Bamin is Batal Baraif. When he stated earlier that it doesn't go so easy as Batal Baraif, Hadi Rabbi, that was his Rebbe speaking. He was quoting his Rebbe. Rashi explains. Let's proceed just the next few lines in the Gemara. Who is the Rebbe? That's Rabbi Gamliel. The Sanya Bido Eimer Mishum, he quotes Rabbi Gamliel, his Rebbe. Ein dam mevatel dam. Suppose we have two items which are really the same items. Blood and blood. Proper blood with deficient blood. Ein dam mevatel dam. Like we have in our Mishnah, right? Two bloods, blood of carbon with the blood of the Yechulin. Doesn't matter. Percentages, proportions are irrelevant. The Ran, by the way, Misach Sandarim explains, because bittul can only occur when we have confrontation between two opposing entities. Basar and Chalav. Right? Dam and water. But when they're both of the same ilk, same type of material, there's no opposition. There's no cancellation. There's no nullification at all. Ein dam mevatel dam. Another two examples, ein roik mevatel roik, you have saliva, which is tameh from mezav, mixed in with other proper saliva, there's no bittul. Ein meraglaim mevatel meraglaim, likewise when it comes to meraglaim, there's no bittul, because they're the same type of item. Explains Rashi. So just like Rambam Gamliel holds, blood does not nullify blood, min b'mini is not bittul, likewise in our cases. So for instance, you have a bucket with white wine immersed in mikveh water. So technically there are different types of materials. This is wine, this is water. But in terms of the visuals, the appearance, which is really what determines when it comes to immersion in a mikveh and connecting to the mikveh, they're both white. There's an element of likeness, of similarity. Rambam Gamliel is machmer on that too. Not only when they're really the same thing, is there no bittul, even when they're similar in terms of appearance, which is the, you know, focus factor here, right? That's the primary criterion that we're dealing with. Since there's an element of similarity, you don't just say batal baraif, right? Because there's diminished opposition. There's less confrontation because there's an element of similarity. The only way to make bittul is to treat it as though they're different elements and apply that formula. For instance, white wine, within the mikveh water, we treat it like red wine. And the only way you can have bittul is if there's enough water there mixed into this bucket that would theoretically nullify red wine. Then you have bittul. So that's Rabbi Yehuda's Rebbe. Whereas Rabbi Yehuda himself holds, just like min b'minoy, blood and blood is batal, because we don't look at the physical properties, we look at the halachic status of these items. This is kosher, this is pasul. They're viewed like two separate opposing entities, and there's bittul. Likewise, when it comes to those items, you know, mikveh water with the meichatos, min b'min is batal b'rif. Says the more Rava Amar. Let's just backtrack a second. We had a kasha, a seeming contradiction within Rabbi Yehuda himself, right? Initially, Rabbi Yehuda told us, Royin, right? We're more strict. We don't just view these similar items as min b'minay and be batal b'roiv. Versus when it comes to the case of the bucket filled with the chatas water, the paraduma water, we say 49% is enough for a bit of wine. Says the Gemara, Rava Amar. Really, Rabbi Yehuda holds like his Rebbe, that we're more strict when it comes to bittul. So why by the paraduma water is a batal b'roiv? It's an exceptional case, he says. Rav Amar Betlisha Teichei Tor V'Gabi Tamei Askina. We're speaking about a unique case where the dli, the bucket that we're speaking of, that requires tevila, wasn't really fully tamei. Teichei Tor, the interior was really tor, V'Gabi Tamei Askina, only the back was tamei. How's that possible? Rashi says certain type of tumas have that effect. A tumah which is only midrabbanan, tumas mashkin, touch liquid which is tummy which is only midrabbanan. It's only mitami the back, right? You know, the area which it touched. So technically, only the back needs to be immersed in a mikvah, the interior. The medina sagilu b'koldu, truthfully, only a drop entry would be enough, meaning the back has to immerse, and only, you know, a drop over the lip so that the lip is covered as well. So this way you get the whole back. V'rabbanan hu degazru. But Chacham was concerned that since this bucket is filled with precious water, paraduma water, right? This fellow might actually stop the water a bit too early, lest it get mixed into the paraduma water, make it possible, right? Because it's meant to be fresh spring water. If it's mixed in with mikvah water, it becomes possible. So he might stop a bit too early, not allow the mikvah water to, you know, go over that lip, for concern that it might trickle in. Oh, there's a concern about that. And therefore, we require him actually to fill the interior as well, to ensure that he does a proper job. He might be concerned about the water. Because of his concern, this is a gerus of lematvale, right? Teufel, right? He's going to be concerned about the water entering the and mixing with the chatas water, and therefore he'll hold back. He'll hesitate to be. To properly be toivel the bucket, and, you know, allow the water to reach over the top, you know, lip. And therefore, they require him to fill it up with water to make sure you do a good job. So once he gets to the point of 51%, so most of this kli is now filled with water. We know he did a good job. You don't got to go more than that. So yeah, if the issue would be that you have to actually immerse the full interior. Since the interior is full of chatas water, 51% wouldn't be enough because there's no bitul b'rov. You know, even in this case when it's min b'minei, because we're strict when it comes to these things, we require more than 51% as we explained. But here, it wasn't really needed to begin with. It was only a concern, a gzera, to make sure it does a good job and gets the lip covered. Once he gets most of the interior full, you know the lip is certainly covered. You know he's not. Obviously not too concerned about his paraduma water, which is now mixed in very significantly with mikvah water. So then, we leave it at that. Okay, so in a nutshell, we had a mix between dam of carbon with water. If it retained its color, it retains its status. Mixed in with other red materials, like red wine, or blood of a regular chulin animal, royin. Rather than allowing it to just be bottle, if it's 49% or less, we say no. We treat that other red material as though it's water and treat it accordingly and judge whether this amount of blood would still retain its color within that general mix, then it's not bottle. So we don't say bit of a roiv in this case, as we just explained in the Gemara. Dam of a carbon doesn't just become bottle but roiv. Oh. Know whatever reason would be the basis for that halacha. Then we have Rabbi Yehuda, who says ein dam batal dam, in line with his Rabbi Rav Gamliel, who says in general min b'mini is not batal at all. And certainly when it's a matter of two different types of items, and likewise when it's a matter of two different types of items with the same appearance, likewise the bittul doesn't just happen. If it's merely 49%, rather we view it as though it's, you know, a different color, and we have to we need enough to actually nullify the color of the dam to make it bot. Now Rabbi Yochanan in the Gemara tells us retention of color is only valid if the water is what's spilled into the blood, but if the blood spilled slowly trickle into the water, then as it's running in its bottle and becomes nitche from kedusha. But that doesn't really apply to Kisi Adam, which is a mitzvah-oriented issue. Rish Lakish tells us a chiddush. Two types of isurim chewed together. If they're of different flavor, then of course there's no bittul because the tam of item A embedded in item B is still present, so there's no bittul. But if they're of the same type, two pieces of meat, then we say bittul. Inevitably, there's some bittul taking place, since there's no way to determine which one lost its kazai, so he's potter, completely potter. And this is in line with the shita that holds that when it's min b'mini, it's always batel b'rayif. versus the opinion which holds that not so quick when it comes to Isurim, Tumah, and Karbonis. Specifically, we don't just say Betel Barayv, we say Rayin. You need more than just the fact that it's 49%. In a way, we apply a more strict formula. So, for instance, when it comes to the blood and water, or the wine and the mikveh water, even though they're of the same color, we don't just say Betel Barayv, 49% Betel Barayv. We view it as though they're different colors. And if in fact it can retain, right, as though it's blood and water, if the blood would theoretically retain its color, that retained its status and can still be used for Zrika of the carbon. All the best to you and Atzlach Rav.